friends, if I may propose a little toast. Let us eat, drink, and be merry. For tomorrow, we die.
The first element in a bouquet of wine is to get your nose down into the wine glass. I mean, let's be serious about it. Let's get right down in there. And I want you to inhale several times, very sharp inhalations. Lovely.
It's The Wine Crush, the show that's all about the grape. And now, here are your hosts, Laura Lawson.
Yeah, I remember her. The traffic was bumper to bumper outside her room.
And Michael Ambrose.
It's supposed to be a cocktail dress, you know, something peekaboo. Sparkle a little, and you'd call that peekaboo.
Welcome to The Wine Crush. I'm Laura Lawson.
And I'm Michael Ambrose.
And we welcome you to the show that's all about the grape and all its glory. Everything you ever wanted to know about the glass, the bottle, the beverage. We are all about wine.
Yummy.
Michael, I liked your new introduction. It's nice to know you're sparkly.
Yes, I was imagining myself in that dress.
I think our new producer is probably looking at our shows occasionally and thinking we aren't sparkling enough. And that's
really
where he's getting that from. Well, we are here today to talk about putting your money where your mouth is. I had the unfortunate pleasure recently of sitting in a bar just long enough to have lunch, and I watched the Dow drop 250 points.
Laura, it's a scary thing out there. In the last 2 months, has added two more years to my working life.
Yes, assuming he's working now. But as you sit there and you watch what's going on in the stock market, you watch what's going on with all the banks, all the bailouts, everything
right.
happening in Washington, the question then becomes, everyone's asking about disposable income. Are people spending? Are people still going out? What are people doing?
Right.
And I think that's very poignant when you're talking about something about wine. Because if I have talked about this once, I've talked about it 12 times, people see wine as a luxury item. And I think the first thing to go when you start hitting economies like this, or when you start hearing people use the recession or, God forbid, even the depression word,
yeah.
luxury items are the first to go. And I have to take issue with that. This is not the time where you need to see people cutting back on your pertinent things. Let's face facts.
Yes, really.
Alcohol helps.
It does indeed. And I might add to that, I don't think I'm going to be drinking any less. I might be drinking a lot less expensive, but I'm not going to be drinking any less at these times.
And I think that's the core of what we're bringing you today. What Michael and I, we have a great show ahead of us. We have Phil Limpert. He is with ShoppingMartGuru.com. He is going to come talk to us about how to navigate the supermarket aisle. We have Danny Brager. He is the VP of Beverage Alcohol for the Nielsen Company. And so what we're going to do today is we're going to put wine into perspective. Most people are going to think, do I give up my wine? Do I give up my glass of Chardonnay? Absolutely not. We're here to guide you through this awful time to help you find ways to drink.
Yeah.
Well.
That's right. Medicate yourself.
Just less expensively. And I think that's the heart and soul of everything we hope for when we're trying to guide you here at The Crush. So for those of you with questions and comments, give us a call, 877-4-CRUSH-1, or email us at info@winecrush.com. So, Michael, on this topic, obviously you work at a high-end restaurant.
I do, yeah.
And are you seeing the changes now? Are you seeing people come in less frequently? Are you seeing people come in not at all? What are you seeing?
There's no doubt that this economy is hurting business, and it's hurting across-the-board business. My particular restaurant is probably being affected on a national level, probably 6 to 8% right now.
That's staggering.
That is huge. It's gigantic. One of the things that we are doing is we are looking at wines on a different scale than we've looked at before. We typically carry a high-end clientele, and we carry wines that people are looking for special occasions. Those special occasions are becoming rarer, and the wines are becoming more of a value proposition.
It's usually a value proposition. So on the restaurant side, you are seeing people being more conservative. But here's what's interesting. Regardless of whether you say the restaurant's down 6 to 8%, regardless of whether people are dining out or not, most of our listeners know I come from a wholesale background.
Right.
And we just finished up our year. And my dollars were equal. They were equal to last year's dollars.
Yeah.
Here is what I loved. My cases were up 10%.
Uh-huh. Because you're selling cheaper wine, right?
We are selling less expensive wine. So this proves to me that we are not rotting on the vine. It's not time to give up your glass. It's not time to give up on the grape. It's just time to drink smarter. And certainly that's what we hope to guide you through today. So, once again, call us 877-4CRUSH1. Email us at info@winecrush.com. And when we return, we will start the format and discussion with all of our great guests and certainly help you put your money where your mouth is.
I like to think about the life of wine. How it's a living thing. I like to think about what was going on the year the grapes were growing. How the sun was shining, if it rained. I like to think about all the people who tended and picked the grapes. And if it's an old wine, how many of them must be dead by now? I like how wine continues to evolve. Like if I opened a bottle of wine today, it would taste different than if I'd opened it on any other day. Because a bottle of wine is actually alive. And it's constantly evolving and gaining complexity.
The Wine Crush.
Looking for some good news at the gas pump? Chevy has 7 models that offer an EPA estimated 30 miles per gallon highway or better. From HHR with an EPA estimated 30 mpg highway, to the Aveo 5 with an EPA estimated 34 mpg highway, and Cobalt XFE with an EPA estimated 36 miles per gallon highway. Chevy's MVPs of MPG, based on EPA segmentation. See your local Chevy dealer.
So you think you're a Team 48 fan, right?
Try me.
How many Sprint Cup races have Jimmy?
229.
How many did
34
they?
34 wins.
Where was Jimmy?
El Cajon, California.
When was he?
9/17/75.
Where was Chad?
Rockport, Illinois.
I'm sorry, what?
Rockport, Illinois.
Rockport, Illinois? No, my friend. Chad Knaus was born in Rockford, Illinois. You call yourself a fan.
Become an official member of the Team Lowe's Racing Fan Club. Just log in at www.lowesracing.com and sign up today.
This is Jimmy Johnson, and I want to thank all of the Lowe's Team 48 fans for cheering us on over the years.
Lowe's, let's build something together.
There's a reason Roush Performance chooses Cooper Tires for their high-performance vehicles. Just ask Cooper Tires technical advisor Johnny Unser.
Roush tunes vehicles to reach their absolute limits. They need tires that can handle those limits, from handling to durability to safety. That's why they choose Cooper. And that same race-bred technology goes into every Cooper tire you buy, no matter what you drive.
For more information and to find a dealer near you, visit CooperTire.com. Cooper Tires. Don't give up a thing.
Hey, Doug, are you okay?
Mark, I'm practicing my ninja moves so I can take on weeds with Spectracide Weed and Grass Killer.
Do you mean there are ninjas inside the Spectracide bottle?
Well, using Spectracide is like sending an army of tiny green ninjas to kill weeds and unwanted grass right down to the root. You see the result in as fast as 3 hours.
I see, Sensei. I'm heading over to Lowe's to pick up Spectracide Weed and Grass Killer with ninja fighting power.
Just remember, Mark, weeds can't hide from Spectracide. Side.
Look for the bare necessities, the simple bare necessities.
Have a banana.
Eating well.
Have 2 bananas.
And playing.
Come on, Baloo.
Go together like best friends.
You better believe it.
With the food pyramid, the bare necessities of living healthy are easy.
That bring the bare necessities of life.
It gives you just the right amount of grains, vegetables, fruits, milk, and meats and beans.
Crazy.
So eat right.
You eat ants?
You're gonna love the way they tickle.
Be active.
Now move. That's it.
And don't forget to have fun.
You're lots of fun, Baloo.
That's the way to be the best.
You're all right, kid.
At anything you do.
Yeah, man.
You can go to mypyramid.gov to play some games and find out more.
Me and Baloo, we've got things to do.
This has been a message from the U.S. Department of Agriculture and the Ad Council.
Son, I want you home by 10, all right?
I know.
Hold on. Listen, we need to talk about drinking. You know how I feel about alcohol.
Yeah, I know.
Seriously, you're way too young to drink. I know some kids are drinking, but you're my kid. And just because they drink doesn't mean you have to.
I know.
I mean, you're still growing, you're still developing. You may think you can handle it, but you're not a grown-up yet. It's dangerous.
I know, okay?
Teenagers know everything. So talk about underage drinking before they know it all, before they're teens.
Listen, when you drink, it screws up your judgment. I don't want you getting hurt. You could make some serious mistakes.
I know, I know.
Listen to me. This is real.
I know, okay? I know.
Start talking before they start drinking. And keep talking. To learn more about the dangers of underage drinking and what to say to your kids, go to StopAlcoholAbuse.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Break out the ale! These men are thirsty!
The Wine Crush.
Well, I guess we better get on with it.
Welcome back to The Wine Crush. I'm Laura Lawson.
And I'm Michael Ambrose.
And we are talking about a topic that's near and dear to all of our livers, which is, of course, how to weather the beverage storm now that the economy has turned south. And so instead of just relying on mine and Michael's vast wealth of knowledge, we have called in some outside experts. And the first one to talk to us today is Mr. Phil Limpert. He is from supermarketguru.com. He is also from the NBC. He's from The View, Today Show. This man knows it all and has talked about it everywhere.
Yeah, he really does.
Phil, welcome to The Wine Crush.
Well, thank you very much, Laura. Nice to meet you and Michael.
It's nice to meet you, Phil. Thank you for being part of the show.
Happy to.
Well, I have been looking over a lot of things that you have done with supermarketguru.com. And, of course, people speak very highly about how you perceive the market. You are definitely the man who can help me walk the aisles of the grocery store. They're very, very intimidating, even to me. Wholesale business or not, I walk down the wine aisle and I am just in awe. So in this kind of economy, what advice do you have for our listeners as they tackle the wine aisle and look for good values?
Well, I got to tell you something, that it's changing by the minute, and that's the good and the bad news. In fact, we just got a report, about an hour ago, on the storms and how it's really affecting what's going on in California. The reality is prices are going to continue to go up. There's no question about that. This is not just for a short period of time, but this is going to be the way of life. We're also going to see with all the climate changes that are going on, we've already heard about wineries buying new land further north. We're going to continue to see that. Napa is at risk. You know, if we continue to see the climate changes that we're seeing now, we're not going to be able to grow grapes in California in just a couple years from now.
Do you really stand by that? Do you really believe something like that?
I do. No question about it. And talking to all the meteorologists, all the agriculture people that I'm talking to on a day-to-day basis, we have really destroyed the planet, if you would, and we've got to make some changes very rapidly from an agricultural situation. I mean, our food supply, the number of mouths on this planet are going to double between now and the year 2050, and we have less and less good land to grow food on. Our water supply is getting filthier by the day. Where's all this food going to come from? Where's all this wine going to come from?
Wow.
I was about to say grapes, definitely. We've been very, very fortunate here in the States, and of course you look at Australia, Chile, everyone's been having landmark harvest.
Mm-hmm.
So even though we are going to see all these grapes rolling in, and you say you really think you're going to see prices increase in these grocery store aisles, how can our listeners navigate through that? How can they sort out and find great values right now?
Well, I think the number one thing to always do, whether it's for wine, any distilled beverage, or food, is have that shopping list. Be smart about what you're buying. Know the brands that you're buying. It's fine to go into a Trader Joe's and, you know, experiment with something that you're going to pay $2 or $3 for. But once you find something you like, write down that brand, write down the name, write down the year, just so that you can make sure that next time you're going in, you're not going to be wasting money. Also, obviously, and you, I'm sure, tell these listeners this time and time again, make sure that you're storing your product, your wines, carefully and intelligently so that you're not buying a wine and, you know, 2 months from now when you got to open it, it's spoiled. We've just got to be smarter about how we buy, how we store, and how we use our foods and our beverages.
Phil, I've got a question for you. It's been my experience here in the last couple of months that even the premium brands are offering some type of an incentive, whether it's a discount directly, whether it's an additional bottle to the case, that a lot of people that have even got established names are offering a better value. Do you not see any of that going on?
Yes. Value is the key word that started probably in May of this year, and it's going to transcend whoever's the president. We are going to see value on just about anything. And for those people who are walking into stores, especially the smaller stores, go in and ask for the deals. Ask them if you buy six bottles, will they give you another one at no cost?
Yeah.
You know, now's the time to negotiate because, again, you know, it's our money. We're working very hard for it. If we look at what the impact has been over the past 2 weeks in Wall Street, we've got to be smarter.
It's easy to tell people to be smarter. I did notice this recently. I've worked with a couple grocery stores in the last 6 months, and I am seeing for the first time now as you walk in, see the signs on these huge displays, 10% off a case.
Right.
Would you encourage our listeners to ask for more than that or seek out the wine buyer and say, hey, listen, if I buy two cases, will you give me 20% off each case? How is the way our listeners can navigate through all this?
Yeah, definitely. Your suggestion is exactly correct. Build a relationship with that retailer, with that store. Go in there, often buy all your products from one source, and they will give you a deal. If it says 10%, don't be shy. Ask for 15%.
Yeah.
Also, meet the wine buyer and say, hey, look, you know, here's the kind of wine that I like. Describe it and say, do you know of anything that's a little less expensive that you'll give me a deal on that might not be a brand that you're familiar with? You'll save money if you have a relationship with that wine buyer, whether it be a supermarket or a little wine store. Get to know them, and it will, you know, be of value to you.
Phil, here's a question. When I walk into my local Mega Mart, I find wine in the floral section. I find wine in the seafood section. I find wine in the meat counter.
Right.
And, of course, I find it on end caps at the end of aisles, and I find it in the actual wine aisle. Is there a super secret spy place to get the best deal on wine in a supermarket?
Well, you know, not really. I would say that there used to be. But now, when they have more integrated merchandising, not anymore. However, what bothers me about the scenario that you just described, it's confusing. You know, I could see a bottle of wine in the wine department, then go over to the meat department, then I see a different brand that might look better. And, you know, the meat manager doesn't know a thing about wine. So I've got to head back over to the wine department to try to find somebody there.
So you'll spend more but get more exercise.
Exactly.
Okay.
You know, more supermarkets and more wine stores are actually having tasting events. It was really tough for years to get supermarkets to do that. They were concerned about ages and so on. But now they're doing it. They typically charge a couple dollars to be part of it. You've got to show them that, you know, proof of age. But a lot of supermarkets are doing tastings now as well. Albertsons has done it. Safeway has done it. And I think we're going to see more of that. Tastings are the way to go because that way you're going to find a wine that you like. And it's great to say, you know, let's experiment. Let's find all these new vintners. But tried and true, at least for the next couple months as we're going through this economic disaster, might be the way to go.
Speaking of trying before you buy, we'll put you on the spot a little bit. Are you a wine drinker?
I am.
What are you drinking these days? What are you taking home from your grocery stores?
Well, knowing everything that I just said, keep in mind that we rate new products.
Right.
And we get between 200 and 300 new products, whether they be food or beverages, every week sent to us to try. So, to be honest with you,
you're drinking what's free.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know what's free, but we're drinking some of the new products that are coming out that are really just trying to get a foothold, and it's all over the lot. There's some that are absolutely terrific. There's some that are horrible. And now where we're also starting to see newer packaging, whether it's the Tetra Paks from Europe that we're really seeing a lot more people going to, or, you know, instead of the corks, having the screw tops and so on. So from us, we're just looking at it as a whole new way of packaging the product, even the smaller bottles. We're starting to see more high-quality products in smaller bottles because people, you know, just don't want to pay the price of that big bottle and possibly have some wasted.
Well, great things always have come in small packages.
Exactly.
Well, Phil, thank you very, very much for your insights and being part of the Wine Crush. It's always great to get a true expert who sees things from the outside in when it comes to talking about wine and educating our listeners. But we do appreciate you being part of the crush, and hopefully, maybe by next March, we'll see great bounds. The Dow will be over 11,000, and you can call in and tell us how to buy carefully and choosing the high-end wines.
Maybe over 15,000. Yeah.
Yes.
Exactly.
That's right.
We love it.
Well, thank you for spending time with us, Phil.
Thank you.
All right. Well, you know, Michael, Phil hit on some very interesting points all the way around. But
Some of them were really scary.
A lot of this is really scary. But I like the two things he said. One is knowing value, and the other is knowing your brands. And I'm sure you and I can get off on a soapbox of that.
All right.
But actually, we do have an email, and our email comes to us from Karen in Chicago. And it does say, I still love my wines and still want to learn, but don't want to waste money experimenting. Any trends, any true suggestions? And I think this ties in perfectly to where Phil just was.
Absolutely.
Saying going into these stores who are doing the tastings, who are, even if they charge you a dollar to walk in and to taste four different wines, that is probably the best way to get to know your wines.
You know, even a quality grocery store, a quantity grocery store like Food Lion. I actually saw some tastings being conducted in a Food Lion the other day. I was really, really surprised. And, I actually ended up buying some of the bottles.
I'm impressed, Michael. Yeah. You're usually not that easily influenced.
No, they were okay.
Well, to summarize for our listeners, when you're going into these mega marts, when you're going into your grocery stores, there is no surefire way, according to Phil, to find the best values. But what we do encourage you to do, encourage Karen in Chicago to do, is to sit back, take advantage of the retailers who understand that they've got to put their money where your mouth is and actually let you taste the wines.
Absolutely. And there's so many wine shops are doing that. Any wine shop that you walk into these days is going to have four or five bottles open that you can sample. And that's just the best way to learn about wines to begin with.
It is. And actually, we encourage our listeners, tell us about your experience with these tastings. Tell us about going in these stores, what you like, what you don't like.
Yeah.
Call us 877-4-CRUSH-1 or email us your stories at info@winecrush.com. Well, please stay tuned. We've got a whole lot more fun and interesting facts ahead. We have got more experts calling in so that they can enlighten you better than Michael and I can. So, stay tuned.
A party? And you didn't invite us?
The Wine Crush.
You ain't getting rid of us that easy.
So, you know, we won the cup in 06, then we won again in 07, so naturally me, Jimmy, Chad, and the guys, we're really happy. And, you know, of course, we've had some...
What's this we? We won in 06, we won in 07. What, are you part of Lowe's Team 48?
Yeah.
Become an official member of the Team Lowe's Racing Fan Club. Just log in at www.lowesracing.com and sign up today. You'll get the club's free track record magazine, members-only discounts, weekly club emails, and lots more.
This is Jimmy Johnson. Looking forward to having you on the team.
Lowe's. Let's build something together.
Z-Max. It helps your car, truck, motorcycle, or boat save gas and last longer. The secret of Z-Max is micro-lubrication. Z-Max penetrates deep into the metal of your engine and drivetrain where regular oil can't. Z-Max reduces heat and friction, dissipates carbon buildup, restores power, and reduces fuel consumption. Z-Max maintains mileage in your new car and improves mileage in your older car. It works. Log on to Z-Max.com to find a Z-Max retail performance partner. Z-Max. Performance you can feel.
What would you do if you had to choose between the buffalo and the giraffes? Between a flower or an elephant? What would you choose? What if you had to decide between a 100-year-old tree and a million-year-old beach. Between drinking clean water or breathing clean air, would you make the right choice? Would there be a right choice? Now there's a way to help. Not just one, but all these things. EarthShare, the world's leading environmental groups working together. It's one choice we can all live with.
This ad sponsored by Ad Council and EarthShare.
When I have an asthma attack, I feel scared. It's like tiny nails in the air poke my lungs.
I start to cough.
Sometimes my parents have to take me to the hospital.
Today, one out of 13 children suffer from some form of asthma, accounting for nearly one-third of all emergency room visits.
I feel like I'm choking.
It's kind of like an elephant is on my chest. A little whistle sound comes out when I breathe.
But while your child may suffer from asthma, asthma doesn't have to make your child suffer. There are simple ways you can prevent your child's next attack. To learn more, call 1-866-NO-ATTACKS. That's 1-866-662-8822. Log on to www.noattacks.org or call your doctor. Because even one attack is one too many.
I feel like a fish with no water.
Brought to you by the EPA, the Ad Council, and this station.
Melting polar ice was a dirty look. Shrinking glaciers, a nudge. Dying forests, they were a tap on the shoulder. We got a finger in our chest from the rising sea level, and a sharp poke in the ribs from recent wildfires in Alaska. Then dying coral reefs and eroding coastlines pushed us hard. The drowned polar bears, that was a shove. Melting permafrost, that was a slap. Rising ocean temperatures and extreme weather, an uppercut. Then record-breaking heat waves hit us right where it hurts. Has it occurred to anyone that maybe the Earth is trying to get our attention?
We can still reduce greenhouse gas pollution before it's too late. To find out how, go to fightglobalwarming.com. Brought to you by Environmental Defense, the Robertson Foundation, and the Ad Council.
The Wine Crush.
Welcome back to The Wine Crush. I'm Laura Lawson.
And I'm Michael Ambrose.
And we are trying to keep you cheered up in this time of downward spiraling economy. And in doing so, we are trying to find counterpoints and points, outside experts to teach us a little bit about how to drink, how to buy, and how to further our wine endeavors.
Yes, indeed. And I think we've got another person who's going to give us a slightly different point of view as far as the market out there.
Yes, we have. Whereas we had Phil Limbert talk a little bit about grocery stores, we now have Danny Brager. And Danny Brager is the Vice President of Beverage Alcohol for the Nielsen Company.
Right.
And our listeners might be able to reference Nielsen. They think about TVs. But understand, Nielsen covers every consumable out there. So, Danny, welcome to the Wine Crush.
Hi, Laura and Michael. How are you?
Great, Danny. How are you doing?
Doing well, thanks.
Thank you so much for being part of the Crush today. I came across you in the Progressive Grocer in a great little article you had written. So I'm going to set you up for Michael and our listeners by asking, are wine sales rotting on the vine?
I don't think so. I'd say to the contrary, although there's almost two sides to the tale. So people are not going out to restaurants, bars, and nightclubs anywhere near as much as they used to as the economy bites into their wallets. And so we're definitely seeing and hearing about large declines in wine consumption in the on-premise bars, restaurants, nightclubs.
But there you go, Michael. It's not just you.
Yeah, I can feel that. I can feel that pain.
I think we all do, unfortunately. But on the other hand, and you know, in part to the positive for stores and other places where consumers can buy, whether it be online or buying in stores, we're still seeing sales grow in those outlets.
Oh, without a doubt. Actually, Michael and I were commenting earlier in the show. Danny, I come from a wholesale background.
Okay.
And we're seeing our numbers stay steady from the years past, but what we're seeing is case sales increasing. So it seems like people are still drinking. They're just drinking less expensively.
true. I mean, we're definitely seeing that the last data that we have still shows that dollars are up between 4 and 5%, and volume is still up about 2%. So we're still seeing growth, but not to the same extent in total as it was last year. And secondly, like you just said, the huge growth rates of the more expensive wines that we've seen last year are decelerating, and the growth rates of the less expensive wines are accelerating. Increasing. So kind of going in opposite directions and close to almost meeting in the middle.
Do you think the industry can keep up with that? I know that when we were looking at this about 4 years ago when it came to wine, it seems like everybody and their brother was coming out with a $14.99 Chardonnay, a $16.99 Chardonnay. Are we going to start seeing the slide backwards to people going to the $8.99 and the $7.99 Chardonnays?
I don't know if it's going to. I don't know if it's going to go back that far. I mean, I keep saying and thinking that that whole kind of upscaling or premiumization, as some might call it, I mean, it's hurt because everyone's wallet is being pinched a bit. But it's, I don't think it's a fad. So I think people are sliding back a bit. And the nice thing for a consumer in the wine category, I mean, what other category has so many price points and can offer some good quality and value wines at so many different, you know, so many choices to the consumer?
Yeah, and you know, what I've witnessed is when people are coming by to give me samples of wines for my wine list for the restaurant, they're not providing me with $20 wines, which would be our normal price point at least.
And I mean, I think if I look at all of our different kind of ranges and segments that we measure, I mean, that over $20 segment, that's the one that's hurting.
Right.
So I can certainly support what you're seeing and what's happening out there.
Yeah.
Danny, you have a quote in your article. It says, wine is poised to become a recession-resistant category.
That's good. That's good news.
Of course, that can just make me do backflips all the way down Main Street. But explain that to our listeners.
Well, and again, I mean, everything is relative. I mean, a purchase of a bottle of wine, it's not in the league of a major renovation, a major trip. And so while we're seeing in a lot of categories that are, you know, can be either a high ticket item or in some cases really discretionary, we're seeing sales being impacted. But I think wine, I'd still put in the category or the bucket of an affordable luxury that people enjoy and maybe need to even find more reason to enjoy given all the turmoil that's going around. So on a relative basis, I think it's pretty recession hardy, recession resistant relative to everything else that's out there.
I say amen. Now, I've got one more question to ask
you.
Does that also mean that the lengths of skirts are going to raise up?
Oh, Michael. You'll have to pardon Michael the wine swine. It's the first time you've encountered him, and I fully realize that.
I think I better stay away from
him.
Oh,
yes. No, you can't touch that.
Well, Danny, it's easy. Number one, I thank you very, very much, because I think a lot of people think affordable luxury is like jumbo shrimp. It's an oxymoron. But I have to argue with that. I think wine can be an affordable luxury.
No, I think it's a perfect description for
right.
what we're seeing.
Traditionally, as we're coming into the fall, as we come into the high holidays, this is usually the time of year where we start seeing people, they drink more red wine, and generally red wine is more expensive than white wine, so we start seeing people spend a little bit more on their wine purchases. Is that going to continue through this year, or are we going to see everyone straight lining value?
You know, I think I've got almost two answers. I think I think you have to consider the occasion that the purchase is for. And one of the things that I think will help is that, again, I'm thinking about consumers with not as much money or, you know, hard-pressed. And, I mean, what perfect way, what other kind of product such as wine can really make a pretty nice gift? And so for a gift occasion, I think people can find some pretty nice wines at some pretty affordable prices, but they don't have to scrimp and cut back all that much. Maybe for their personal use, I might see a bit of a cutback there.
All right.
Okay, that's good. Fair enough.
That is fair enough. All right, Danny, we're going to put you on the spot. What are you drinking these days?
You know, I love to try them all. I'm one of those experimenters, so my best, most fun time is going into a store and buying all different kinds of things so I can come home and taste them all. And I'll plead the fifth since we've got a lot of clients, but I love all sorts of different kinds.
Yeah, and the only thing I can say that's better than that is when they give you those bottles as samples that you need to taste.
Oh, not me.
No, well, not me. Anybody. Apparently, Michael's the only one that's spoiled out of this bunch, so feel free to let us all know what we think about that. Well, Danny, thank you very, very much for calling into The Crush and giving us all hope to know that wine sales are not gone, they're not forgotten, and that we will actually continue to drink into the upcoming year.
Anytime. My pleasure. Happy holidays.
Yeah, happy holidays to you.
Happy holidays to you.
All right. Take care.
We hope they're all happy, at least, as we drink more.
Yes.
All right. Well, we've had an interesting point and counterpoint, and we encourage our listeners. Y'all call in. Let us know what you think. 877-4-CRUSH-1. Is it doom and gloom, or is there hope ahead? Email us at info@winecrush.com. Let us know your stories. So, when we return, we'll take some of your calls, we'll take some of your emails, and we will continue all of our discussions about where we stand during this economy.
We will sell no wine before it's time.
The Wine Crush.
Hey-ya! Doug, are you okay?
Mark, I'm practicing my ninja moves so I can take on weeds with Spectracide Weed and Grass Killer.
Do you mean there are ninjas inside the Spectracide bottle?
Well, using Spectracide is like sending an army of tiny green ninjas to kill weeds and unwanted grass right down to the root. You see the result in as fast as 3 hours.
I see, Sensei. I'm heading over to Lowe's to pick up Spectracide Weed and Grass Killer with ninja fighting power.
Just remember, Mark, weeds can't hide from Spectracide.
I'm on a test track riding in a Roush Mustang with Cooper Tires technical advisor Johnny Unser to learn why Roush Performance chooses Cooper Tires.
Wow, feel that grip?
Yeah, yeah, I felt it. Cooper incorporates what they learn at the track into engineering high-performing, reliable, safe tires for whatever you drive on the street.
Okay, time to cut her loose.
We weren't already cutting her loose? Cooper Tires, don't give up a thing. For more information and to find a dealer near you, visit CooperTire.com. Okay, seriously, I want out.
Looking for some good news at the gas pump? Chevy has 7 models that offer an EPA estimated 30 miles per gallon highway or better. From HHR with an EPA estimated 30 mpg highway, to the Aveo 5 with an EPA estimated 34 mpg highway, and Cobalt XFE with an EPA estimated 36 miles per gallon highway. Chevy's MVPs of mpg, based on EPA segmentation. See your local Chevy dealer.
When a legend like Carroll Shelby puts Z-Max in every car he owns, maybe you should too.
I know it works.
Z-Max with micro-lubrication reduces wear on vital engine parts and increases horsepower. If you're a custom engine builder or a do-it-yourselfer, Z-Max belongs in your car. Z-Max. Easy to use. One in your gas and one in your oil every 5,000 miles. Take it from Carroll Shelby.
I put my name on the line on that, and I mean it.
Log on to ZMAX.com and find a retail performance partner. Z-Max. Performance you can feel.
From the vantage point, Mafatu saw 6 war canoes drawn upon the beach. But what held the boy's eyes in awful trance were the figures springing and leaping about the flames, darting, shifting, bounding toward the sky. The eaters of men. Cannibals. Firelight glistened on their oiled bodies, on flashing spears and bristling decorations. Mafatu watched the strange scene, powerless to move, and he felt doom itself breathing chill upon his neck. In that very instant, he heard a crashing in the undergrowth. 4 figures were tearing toward him through the jungle. He could see them now. He turned and ran blindly down the trail, slipping, sliding, stumbling, his breath all but choking in his throat. Only one thought gave him courage as he ran. His canoe ready and waiting. If only he could reach it before the savages overtook him. Explore new worlds. Find out what happens next by reading the book Call It Courage by Armstrong Sperry. For other great book ideas, visit literacy.gov. A message from the Library of Congress and the Ad Council.
The Wine Crush.
If I could save time in a bottle, the first thing that I'd like to do.
Welcome back. This is The Wine Crush. I'm Laura Lawson.
And I'm Michael Ambrose.
And so far in today's show, we have had great point and counterpoint talking about the economy, talking about how to look for wines, how to shop for wines, basically how to help you drink your sorrows away.
Yes, indeed. And I'll toast to that.
Fair enough. But talking with Phil, who was one of our earlier guests, Phil is with GroceryStoreGurus.com. He was talking about picking brands or picking favorites. And I think if I had advice to any of our listeners in talking about trying to experiment with wines, what I am seeing, at least from my side of things, is the old tried and true brands, the ones that whether we grew up with, the ones we walk the grocery store aisles and see constantly, whether it's Kendall Jackson, whether it's BV, whether it's Hess, whether it's Gallo,
yeah.
whether it's Mondavi.
Right.
These are the names that help build the California wine business. And I think now is when you're finding people who are going back where they might have experimented before, tried something off the beaten path, or tried something with a cute label. I think now you find people investing more and more in the big brands because they know they're solid.
Well, they do. And, you know, and let's face it, they've got deep pockets. And so when it comes time to when you really have to get in there and say, we can make a better value proposition out of some of our wines, then they're going to do it. And you can walk into the grocery store and you can see a discounted bottle of, for example, a Gallo white wine, Sauvignon Blanc. All of a sudden, it's $2 cheaper than it was 2 weeks earlier.
It does help. So we encourage you listeners, call us. Are you being crafty or are you being clever when it comes to your wine choices? Are you picking with the big brands or are you still trying to go off the beaten path? You can reach out to us at 877-4-CRUSH-1 or email us at info@winecrush.com. And as of right now, we have Stephanie from North Carolina. Stephanie, welcome to the Wine Crush.
Well, I actually have a question regarding, I see a lot of wines out there that have several different, like Cabernet, Zinfandel, Merlot, all in one bottle. Do you recommend those, or what would be a good combination?
Stephanie, those blends are actually really good values right now, which just ties in well to what Michael and I are talking about. What happens is either they are field blends, meaning there were vineyards that had Cab, Merlot, Shiraz, Syrah, all of that together, or that winemakers are actually taking the wines to blend together what essentially is a red table wine that's very affordable and, most importantly, very drinkable.
Yeah, they're easy to drink. They usually have a relatively complex flavor, and that's a good thing.
Stephanie, okay. You found those wines pretty much. I think Australia pretty much started that trend,
yeah, right.
Having Grenache, Syrah, Mourvèdre, or having just the blends come through, and Americans finally realizing that, hey, we can have more than one grape in the bottle. But a lot of the great wines that you drink from around the world have always been blends, whether it's Chateauneuf du Pape, whether it's some of your little Bordeaux wines. They are always mixes of grapes. So it's certainly something I advocate. In fact, I would encourage you in this economy, seek them out. They tend to be less expensive.
Oh, great. Well, thank you very much.
Thank you. Always fun to have people willing to be victims on the wine line. And on that note, Miss Meredith is giving us a call. Meredith, welcome to the Wine Crush.
Hi, how are you? Thank you.
We're wonderful. How are you today?
I'm lovely.
Good, good. What do you have to ask us?
My question is related to style. And you
well,
know,
Michael has no style, wine. So we can't see where he'd help you with that.
Well, I need a fashion genie. Can you help me out on that?
Michael, feel free to step up anytime, buddy.
Speaking of, I need a wine genie, and that's why I'm calling you. So the two of you, I think, are very talented in that category. So in terms of style, you know, when you're shopping for wine, someone talks about the different styles of wine and one that you may prefer over the other. But more so, you know, what are the most important decisions that a winemaker might choose or might make when developing his or her style of wine?
Yeah.
I think everyone has their own style of wines. And it's the question of whether you want to look at it from a winemaker's point of view or whether you want to look at it from a consumer's point of view. A winemaker, Michael and I were talking about this earlier, there's a winemaker called Philip Melka. He travels around the world, helps out different wineries, and you can definitely see whether the wine was from Napa, Sonoma, Australia, you can see similarities in the style.
There's no doubt about it. But, you know, Philip Melka also, what he does is he looks at the property that he's working with to help determine what kind of grapes that he wants to grow there. So it's partially the climate, it's partially the soil, and a person with his talent, you know, will go in and say, you know, we can grow Cab here, or we can grow Merlot here, but I think your best choice will be whatever he decides.
No, and that's, I think, the first part of your question. So do winemakers have a style? Absolutely.
They do.
It defines them, and certain critics love it, certain critics don't. Now, the question also becomes on the back end of it, do consumers have a style? Does everyone have an individual style? And absolutely, whether you are a rookie just picking up your first glass of Riesling or whether you're an aficionado and have been drinking for 50 years, it doesn't matter. everyone does have their own style.
They do. That's
regardless.
Right.
I mean, Michael definitely, we all know what his style is, old and crotchety. My style is any kind of big, high alcohol.
It's young and tart.
Yes. But all of us have things we fall back on. And I think you find that whether it's wine, whether it's your brand of soda, whatever it is.
Whether it's your coffee. You know, people who drink black coffee have a tendency to get stronger wines. And it's just the flavor profile that they like.
Ultimately, your individuality determines your style. Isn't that a hell of an answer? It depends on how much of an individual you are and what kind of style you're going to have. So, unfortunately, that's as far as we can take this.
Yeah. Well, I've been told that if you know, most of your coffee drinkers or your persnickety coffee drinkers are also very good when it comes to determining the different flavors or characteristics or profiles of wine, that they have a more talented or trained palate. I don't know if that's true or not.
That is 100% true. Actually,
I think it is too.
Your coffee tasters and your tea tasters around the world have more finely honed palates than even the Michael Broadbents, the Robert Parkers, and even our own Michael Ambrose.
No way.
Those are the men who actually can decide the best what's on the nose.
Yeah, and you know what? All of those beverages have got something in common. That's that tannin that you taste in tea and coffee and wine, and so it's very similar.
So, Meredith, actually what Michael is leading up to is coffee, tea, or me. But that, thank you very much for being part of The Crush, and I hope we've answered your question.
Absolutely. Thank you so much. I enjoy the show.
Thank you.
I was just going to say, Laura, I was having a lot of fun on that one. Why did you cut me off?
Because, as always, Michael, you're just running off at the mouth a little bit further than you need to. For those of you who are still listening, stay tuned. We will have more of the Laura and Michael bashing banter when we return.
If one of you drinks this, you both will be fine. Happiness, comfort, and beauty divine.
You both will be fine.
I guess it means it'll affect Fiona, too.
The Wine Crush.
Bartender, tender, please give me a drink of wine. Bartender, tender, please give me a drink of wine. If you do that for me, it'll make me feel real fine.
There's a reason Roush Performance chooses Cooper Tires for their high-performance vehicles. Just ask Cooper Tires technical advisor, Johnny Unser.
Roush tunes vehicles to reach their absolute limits. They need tires that can handle those limits, from handling to durability to safety. That's why they choose Cooper. And that same race-bred technology goes into every Cooper tire you buy, no matter what you drive.
For more information and to find a dealer near you, visit CooperTire.com. Cooper Tires. Don't give up a thing.
Hey, Doug, are you okay?
Mark, I'm practicing my ninja moves so I can take on weeds with Spectracide Weed and Grass Killer.
Do you mean there are ninjas inside the Spectracide bottle?
Well, using Spectracide is like sending an army of tiny green ninjas to kill weeds and unwanted grass right down to the root. You see the result in as fast as 3 hours.
I see, Sensei. I'm heading over to Lowe's to pick up Spectracide Weed and Grass Killer with ninja fighting power.
Just remember, Mark, weeds can't hide from Spectracide.
Look, Steve, isn't that Jimmy Johnson over there?
Where?
Over there, in the lumber aisle.
Yeah, that's him.
Well, you said if you ever saw him, you'd ask him.
I'm not gonna ask him.
Go on, ask him.
I can't, it's embarrassing.
They say he's a really nice guy. I'm sure he'll do it.
All right, here goes. Excuse me, Jimmy?
Yes?
I feel a little funny about this, but I was wondering if I could ask you a favor.
Sure, what is it?
Would you come over and fix my fence?
Cobalt tools are so comfortable to use. Once you start working with them, you'll never want to quit. Cobalt, the next generation of tough tools. Available only at Lowe's.
Looking for some good news at the gas pump? Chevy has 7 models that offer an EPA estimated 30 miles per gallon highway or better. From HHR with an EPA estimated 30 mpg highway, to the Aveo 5 with an EPA estimated 34 mpg highway, and Cobalt XFE with an EPA estimated 36 miles per gallon highway. Chevy's MVPs of MPG. Based on EPA segmentation. See your local Chevy dealer.
Have you ever lost a cat? And have you ever wanted to get your cat back after you lost it?
Hi there, I'm Andrew Hoffman. I went on this website called InventNow.org. Then I decided to make an invention of my own. It's called the Lost Cat Magnet Invention. So you can get your cat back after you lost it. Just turn it on and lost cats stick to it. That's a good cat. If your cat was hiding up in a tree, it won't be up a tree anymore. It will be stuck to the lost cat magnet. and sometimes they fly toward you in the air. Just listen to one satisfied cat. See, that's proof. You should go to the InventNow.org website too. But just remember one thing. Don't do a lost cat magnet.
Anything's possible. Keep thinking. Get started on your own inventions or just play some games at InventNow.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Patent and Trademark Office, the National Inventors Hall of Fame Foundation, and the Ad Council.
To reach Laura and Michael, call 877-4CRUSH-1. That's 877-427-8741.
Peel me a grape, crush me some ice, skin me a peach and save the fuzz for my pillow.
This is The Wine Crush. I'm Laura Lawson.
And I'm Michael Ambrose.
And we thank you for tuning in with us today as we weigh the pros and cons of drinking in a bad economy.
Yes.
And I honestly, between you, me, and the fence post, I see no cons in drinking in a bad economy. I think you kind of have to do it.
I'll raise my glass to that.
But I think that's what we're trying to teach everybody is regardless of how tight the economy gets, alcohol is something, it falls in that sin, the vice tax, yeah. It falls into those things that slowly but surely are coming part of what can help us get through this.
And worse comes to worse, you can use wine as a medicinal.
Yes, it's always medicinal.
Yes.
If nothing else, maybe we can knock Michael out with it. But on a serious note, we do encourage you, still experiment, still try, still go out and find those bottles. Whether you're sticking with your big brands, whether you set a mental goal of going to your grocery store self and say, I'm not going to spend more than $9.99, regardless what guests might say, regardless what critics might say, there are at least 500 wines under $9.99 that are absolutely perfectly drinkable and will add joy to your dinner table, your company, or anything else that you're doing.
That's right. And you know, for that kind of a price, you can get a full case and maybe they'll give you an extra bottle, maybe give you a discount, and you can get different wines the whole way across and experiment for yourself.
Yeah, just remember, it never hurts to ask. And this goes back also to what we preached again and again in the show. Find a special wine shop. Find a special store that you build a relationship with. These are the people that can help guide you through these turbulent times and tell you what to drink, what not to drink, and hopefully pour you a little sip along the way.
Absolutely.
So we thank you here at The Wine Crush for tuning in and being part of our pro and con show of learning how to drink. But as always, we ask you, please drink responsibly. We ask you to sip socially. We ask you to enjoy your beverage wisely.
Yes, indeed.
But most off, we ask you to remember, in vino veritas, in wine there is truth. I'm Laura Lawson.
And I'm Michael Ambrose.
And let us talk with you about the grape next week.
From Wine Crush News, Dan Aykroyd Wines will be making its official entry into the U.S. marketplace in December of this year with two new Sonoma-produced varietals, including a Discovery Series Chardonnay and Cabernet Sauvignon. The first two Aykroyd varietals will initially be available in California with select distribution in other U.S. markets, including the House of Blues, of which Aykroyd is a co-founder. A national rollout of the brand is scheduled for early 2009. For more Wine Crush news, visit winecrush.com.